Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio, being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com and the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Thanks for joining the show, and always like to start the show off with a little plug for the stations. We are viewer-supported, so if you like what the stations are doing, if you can afford to throw a few bucks their way, I know they would appreciate anything that you can afford, even a cup of coffee would be appreciated. And I always like to start my show off thanking my producer, because I always forget to thank him at the end. So thanks, Steve, for putting up with me another week and producing my shows for me. Got Roger Landry in for the first hour here, and I actually listened to a show that Roger did with a gentleman down in the States there. I think it was 4 or 5 days ago, and it was a really good show, and I kind of wanted Roger to elaborate on what he was talking about in that show with the gentleman. I'm bad on names, Roger, so you have to forgive me for that, but it was really, like, you know, I got a good memory, but it's very, very short, so, and I should write things down, but I've been telling myself that for years, and I'm still not doing it, so go ahead and tell people what you're talking about on that show, and welcome back, Roger. Always good to have you in, my friend.
Tell the people what you were talking about. Let me see. I have an article that I wrote. The title of the article is EPI Town Crier, EPI standing for Eradicating Programmed Ignorance. And that's the beginning of every show. But the actual title is PSYOP, The Steal, Breakdown and Discussion. That article contains a one-hour show. That article contains a one-hour and 26-minute video by Millie, and it also contains a link to a just almost a two-hour video by Mike Lindell. Between the Mike Lindell video, where he literally, and we've discussed this before, I think, on the show, he literally has proof beyond a shadow of a doubt that the election was actually stolen, including all of the IP addresses of all of the people who affected any changes at all to any voting machine on the night of the presidential election. Not only does it show when these machines were interacted, it also shows the IP address of who was interacting with this machine. It also shows the company or government entity that owns that IP address. This is from across the entire country. It's in that video, along with a bunch of other stuff. What we're looking at is a video proving beyond a shadow of a doubt, and this is the one that Millie Weaver did, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was a conspiracy to steal the election in process prior to the election, and definitely prior to the assault on the Capitol or the Capitol breach on the 6th of December. This is not a guess. This is actual proof. These idiots actually decided to do their conversations on some sort of social media or a chat program that just about anybody can get in. You want to know how I know that? Because the video that Millie did contains these videos of these people actually talking about making sure that Trump doesn't win, or the same type of procedures and the same type of predictive programming were used, believe it or not, to choreograph the attack on the Capitol building. I'm not joking. It's all in the video. You can hear them discussing it.
Yeah, they were caught on hot mics.
What's that?
They were caught on hot mics.
No, actually, what I'm talking about, they weren't caught on hot mics. What they were doing is talking to their co-conspirators, feeling that they were secure and nobody would ever hear or see what they were saying. I need to tell you something. If you're not absolutely sure, everybody in your group, most of whom you've never physically met, they could live thousands of miles away, and the only thing you can go on is what these people tell you, which is one of the biggest problems with the internet today, lack of responsibility. And you literally, you can ask for proof, you can ask for this, you can, but there is always going to be that point of contention. There's always going to be that point of question because somebody actually took these video recordings that they were making of each other as they conspired to get rid of a duly elected president. Yeah, they're actually doing that on video. How many people have seen Millie's video? I would bet you quite a few. We're hoping quite a few more. How many people have seen Lindell's video? Quite a few. We're hoping more. What we see is irrefutable proof that this was a conspiracy that was being formulated prior to the election and then the attack or the breach on the Capitol was literally programmed, literally dry runs. Literally, you can hear these people in this conversation room discussing how they're going to do it and why they're going to do it, how they're going to dress and why they're going to dress that way, how they're going to interact with other people and people they shouldn't interact with. This is an actual conspiracy. You're listening to it being formulated real time. On this video, you're watching their faces as they talk, so you know those words are actually coming out of their mouths. What we have in Millie's video is treason. What we have in Mike Lindell's video is treason. These are not guesses, and the reason they're being ignored, can anybody tell me? We're looking at proof of treason on both of these videos, and they're being ignored. By everybody but people like you and me, you need to, if you have any questions, if you're in doubt, if you don't understand what actually happened between December 3rd, between December 6th and today, you need to take a look at this article. I don't care if you even don't even read my article. You don't even got to do that. Go right down to the show. Once you've listened to the show, go right down to the PSYOP, the steel, Millie's video right below that. And then right below that, there is an image you click on says, when proof is no longer the standard, is treason the new norm? And when you click on that image, it will take you to where Mike Lindell's video is. Between these three things, the show I did with John Stademiller, who is the owner of RBN, between the show I've done with him and the video that's installed in that article and the image at the bottom that takes you to Mike Lindell's video, what you have there is – don't even question this unless you've seen these videos. Don't question what I'm about to say. What you have is irrefutable proof that the United States was literally couped. They pulled an active and successful coup against we the people to get rid of who we decided, who we elected for president. This is a banana republic. Want to know why? Because the proof is out there. They don't want to see it, and they're telling you it never happened. I'm telling you right now, Banana Republic's got it better than this in some cases. Because their people aren't ignorant. They know they're being cheated. They know they're having it stolen from them. They understand that in these third world countries. In America, that crap don't happen. That can't happen in America. Why are you telling me this? Don't tell me that. You're an idiot. This is America. What I'm telling you right now is there are banana republic dictators that would be jealous of what just happened to us. Not only did these people get away with it, but now we've got a government that's saying if you're speaking up about it, you should probably go to a re-education center because you're a danger to the people. We're going to tell you the truth, so you're going to lock us up. Anybody out there know what Nazi Germany is? Anybody?
Well, We're in Nazi Germany right now, Roger, in 1935, 36, and 37. It's just a carbon copy of what went on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Mao, any dictator. Look at any dictator in history.
Yep.
And you know, the time, what they're doing in the United States of America, in Canada, and all G7 countries right now is just a carbon copy of exactly what happened in Germany, in Cuba. With Stalin, any dictator in history has gone down pretty well the same exact road that we're going down right now. In Canada, we are in one big pile of trouble. I know you followed up here a bit, Roger, but we are really in a lot of trouble in this country. But it's the same thing going on everywhere. Same agenda, blah, blah, blah. COVID-19, the Great Reset, it's working like crazy.
If you stop to consider that COVID-19 doesn't even have the knockdown power of last year's flu, yet it has tied the entire planet down. We're going to talk about why, and we're going to talk about where are we going. Well, let's talk about the why first, okay? Anybody out there who doesn't understand that this was a pre... Yeah, it was not only scheduled to happen, but it was actually practiced. There were actually big brains getting together 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, to discuss exactly what's going to happen. Event 2001, or I think it was event 201, something like that. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure. What you're looking at right here is the results of this planning. What you're looking at right here has nothing to do with a virus. The virus is an excuse. It is an absolute excuse. I dare anybody out there, and some of you are going to say, hey, they actually got it, and this is what they said. To this date, there is no isolated sample that you and I can see or have access to, and I don't mean actually breathe the stuff in. I mean the scientific data, the images, so on and so forth.
Right.
COVID-19 or SARS-2 has literally not been isolated. If it hasn't been isolated, how
do you make a vaccine for that?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you how you make a vaccine for that, because it's not a vaccine.
It's a medical emergency. It's not a vaccine. Go ahead.
No, it's not a vaccine. It isn't. It's a medical plan. It's a medical maneuver. It is, but it does not qualify by definition to be a vaccine. It doesn't. And it has never been approved for use in the general public as a vaccine. It only at this point has emergency status. Emergency status means that you can use this thing in an emergency, but one of the things most of you people out there in America don't understand about a vaccine that has been given emergency status is they can't force you to take it. They can't make it mandatory. It is not an approved vaccine. It is a vaccine that has been approved only for emergency use. And thus, by definition, you cannot be forced to take it. Please remember I told you that, because it's an absolute fact. Now, once they go through and get these things approved, which eventually they will, then I can guarantee you going forward, and it's already been mentioned by Fauci and the CEO of Pfizer, that this will be a yearly thing. You will have to have your COVID, whatever, 19, 20, 21, 22, your COVID vaccine every single year. What you're looking at when you're talking about giving this to approximately 6 to 7 billion people, and let's figure at about, I don't know, $500, $600 a shot.
A lot of money.
What do you think is going to be happening to these big pharma companies going forward? Cha-ching! And absolutely, you won't have a way around it unless you stand up and unless you make yourself absolutely heard. I'm going to tell you, COVID is a mechanism to bring in the new world order. That's what it's here for. It's not here killing people, because the amount of people who have died across this planet is in tune with every other year. But yet you're looking at news across the planet about these millions, if not billions, and I know that they don't actually say that, but that's the enthusiasm they have, of people that have died horribly from COVID-19.
Fear. Listen, Roger, I'm going to interrupt for just for a second, because a couple days ago I went to the CDC website and I looked into infection fatality rate for COVID/19, whatever you want to call this thing. And these are their numbers, Roger, and I'm going to run them by you real quick. You're probably well aware of this, but I don't think the audience is, that between the ages of 0 and 19, your chances of dying from COVID/SARS-19, whatever you want to call this thing, is 0.0003. That's four zeros in front of a three, folks. Break that down on a calculator and it'll blow your mind. Between 20 and 49, if you drop 10, it's 0.0002. Between 50 and 69, it's 0.005. It's like a rise. And where we've seen all the deaths is between ages and 70 up, where it goes to 0.054% of the population, folks. This is the biggest nothing burger ever sold to the human race, the biggest scam ever played on us, Roger. People, they've got to look at these numbers and ask themselves, what the heck is going on here? Go ahead.
I can tell you what isn't going on. I can really tell you what isn't going on. I can tell you that the flu isn't going on. I can
tell you that we ran it away this year. It disappeared.
I can tell you, and I could give you, I can give you a whole list of things that happen every year about the time COVID-19 came in.
Oh, imagine that. Coincidence, coincidence, Roger, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, I know.
No, we chased the flu away this year.
You take a look at the people who die from the flu or flu shots over the course of a year, okay? You're looking at anywhere between 35 and 80,000. It usually doesn't go much over that, although I would say when the CDC says 80,000 people died from the flu, it's more than likely about 120 to 150,000. Why do I say that? Well, it's a little bit more conspiracy stuff. The CDC happens to own the patents for some of those flu shots. So if they're telling people these flu shots ain't doing nothing, okay, they just ain't working, how many people do you think are going to take their flu shots? So if there's 120,000 flu deaths, you're going to hear about 75,000 to 80,000. If there's 50,000 to 60,000, you're probably going to see 35,000. But the thing of it is, these numbers are pretty much consistent over the years, unless you've got a really bad strain of flu, like last year, or actually 2019. And in that case, they go up a bit. But the average still is around 50,000, okay? If you take a look at the people who died from the flu this year, where are they? They're all in the COVID lineup.
Exactly.
If you take a look at the people who died from gunshots this year, which we're talking, I don't know, over 100,000 people, you know, in this area of the world, at least per year die from gunshots. Vast majority of them died from COVID this year. If you take a look at people who die from pneumonia, okay, which is a respiratory disease, but it's a whole hell of a lot more in your face than COVID-19, which is a very mild flu. How many people died from pneumonia this year? My God, Jesus must have come down and blessed us, because hardly anybody. Take a look at what reality is showing you. Are the death counts real? Yes! The only problem with that is what they died from. Used to be, in the very beginning, they would report deaths as so many people died from, so many people died from, so many people died from. And as we got further and further into this, and we needed to terrify more and more people to keep them locked down, they changed one word. One word, okay? What they're saying now is, so many people died with
COVID-19.
What's the with? COVID-19.
We all have it. We all have it, Roger.
Everybody who has ever had the flu in any way, shape, or form has a coronavirus leftovers in their body. And the PCR test would absolutely find them and misdiagnose them as COVID-19, because that's the only answer the test has allowed. It's either it doesn't have or it does have COVID-19. So, yeah, I would tell you that anybody out there that's had the flu is going to test positive. And if you've had the flu within the last year or two or a cold, oh, yeah, you're going to have to go into, I don't know, lockdown for 2 weeks just to make sure you're not going to kill a bunch of babies walking down the street.
Well, hey, Roger, you know what? In British Columbia, there hasn't been a single person under the age of 30 die from this killer pandemic. Yet we've completely shut down all sports and anything to do with youth activities, anything to do with any kind of physical activities, all been shut down over absolutely nothing. Try to get this through to people's heads. It's just like I put rubber on my walls in my room, try to bang this through to people that this is just a scam and go by the numbers. Health Canada, Roger, I went and looked at their website on the same thing, infection fatality rates. You know what? Their numbers are almost identical. to what the CDC is putting out. A few variations and a few points here and there. But basically, if these numbers, and if people just understood this, that these numbers are telling us exactly what Roger just said, that this thing has no more knockdown power than a flu virus. If we hadn't heard about it in over the mainstream, than any a bad flu virus, okay? This is nothing. It's an absolute nothing. The only reason we know about it is because what the mainstream media has been blabbing in our heads for a year, and how this has been played out, how it's been brought to the public, and the fear virus is running crazy, because I see people running around outside with masks on their face all the time, and I ask myself, what are we going to do about these people, Roger? How do we get through them? Is it impossible? I don't know.
That's a big cha-ching for physical industry. The longer they can convince the sheeple to have their masks on, the more chronic illness that is going to show up. Yeah. I don't care what anybody tells you. It is not true that you need to wear a mask. There are so many articles out there proving that, written by doctors, doctors who work in the operating room 4 to 5 days a week for 20 to 30 years. They're saying this is ridiculous, especially if you've got elderly, and I want somebody out there to try and knock out of me the absolute knowledge in my head that they are trying their damnedest to get rid of the biggest financial burden on every country on this planet, and that's the elderly.
You and me, Roger, we got to go.
I'm going to tell you right now that if you take a look at all of these people that have really been hit hard, as you said, the numbers point to the fact that if you're 68, 69 on up, you're in trouble if you get the flu. That's a fact. It absolutely is. But what hasn't been mentioned, and what is critical here, is that most people that age have what's called a comorbidity.
Right.
Okay, which means that there's something else that's wrong with them. Either they have, inflamed lungs, or they have some sort of an infection, or they have something that they have been living with and has been treated for a long time. In any case, if you take a look at a normal flu season, those with comorbidities usually are the ones who tend to pass. Now, if you put all of the pieces together, how old are you? Your system is not working as good as it used to because you are an elderly individual, and you may not be eating and exercising as much as someone younger than you. All of this works to prime your system. So you have a weak system, and then you end up dying. Immediately, it's from COVID-19. Your comorbidities, they're hardly mentioned at all, if they are mentioned. But the next time you look at the numbers, Barry, take a look at how many of the elderly, or even those under them, the not so elderly, died with more than one thing wrong with them, the comorbidity. Take a look at that number.
Yeah, there was a chart that the Alberta government, actually talking about this, put out, Roger, and of the people that have died in Alberta that they attribute to this, I think there was only 2% of them that didn't have some form of pre-existing condition that was already giving them major problems in their life. And then we throw into the equation, you know, Roger and I know that people's immune systems are, when you get older, they tend to get weaker. It's just a fact. Unless you're supporting your immune system and doing things to make it work properly and keeping it healthy, you're going to get a weaker immune system as you get older. And of course, anytime a virus comes into society, the weakest always pass away. It's like in nature, man, when you got a sick cow and the rest of the cows are healthy, who's going to die? And if you got a sick lion and the rest are healthy, who's going to die? Nothing's changed. It's just what the media has done with this and how they've absolutely lambasted society with a fear virus. It's unbelievable the way I see people reacting to this. And you try and get these numbers in. You know, if somebody would just sit, think about that for a minute. You know, just run that through your brain, these numbers that are actually coming from the CDC and Health Canada. And like you said, Roger, they haven't been able to isolate this virus. So what you said, how can they make a vaccine for something they can't isolate? They can't.
If you stop to consider, the biggest damage is not to you and me. The biggest damage is not to our mothers and fathers, if they're alive. The biggest damage is to the children. We started out by saying, unless they have a severe, comorbidity, unless they have a severe one, the chances of a child, and we're talking 14 years or younger, a child dying from COVID-19 alone are so low, it's insane. But yet we're going to keep them all out of school. We're going to absolutely trash their childhood, not for just a couple of months, but what may end up by being a couple of years. Yep. What you're going to do at this point is, it's already happening, the massive increase in teenage suicide, the increase in young children self-mutilation, the increase in antisocial behavior by children who are isolated and cannot understand why. What we're looking at here is not so much how many people are going to die from COVID-19, because the actual number is ridiculously low. What we're looking at here is the next generation that's up and coming right now, the ones that should be in school and aren't, the ones that should be prepared to take over a free America and a free Canada, won't be. And gee, don't you think that's convenient as hell? Because there who doesn't understand 100% that COVID-19 was in fact the mechanism used to begin to institute global governance, it's happening right now. Because I'm going to tell you something, if it wasn't happening and the elite weren't putting all of their coins in one basket, Joe Biden never would have got elected.
You know, Roger, the one thing about this that really tears me apart is what they're doing to our children. The trauma that our children are being exposed to at their age right now is going to have a catastrophic effect on them for the rest of their life. What we're doing, Roger, in essence, what we're doing is we're training the little children to be good little robots going forward. Put the fear of virus in them, traumatize them, put masks on them, tell them they got to do this, follow this line, follow that, follow this. This is what you can do. Can't go outside and play like we used to at recess. Totally unallowed. Put blockades up. Treat them in this manner. And what we're going to see is just devastation in our children's social well-being, period. When I was a kid, Roger, you and me, if we'd been kids and in the schoolyard together, what would we have been doing? Huh? We would have been running around trying to find some trouble to get into. We would have been chasing the girls. We would have been going down to the river to get some snakes and chase the girls. We would have been getting into trouble. We would have been kids. And that has been completely taken away from our children. People don't understand the effect that is having on our kids, Roger. One quick fact, and I looked this up, buddy, that between Canada and the United States, 52,000 children last year under the age of 20 took their own lives. That is an increase, buddy, of 96% over the year of 2019. In other words, folks, an additional 26,000 children took their lives last year because of this trauma and this depression and this social, just what's the word for it? I can't even describe the word for it. This absolute evil coming from hell that is destroying our social fabric of our society. And they start at the bottom and they work their way up. This is destroying family units. Divorces are right off the scale. Family violence is right off the scale. Everything is just right out of hand over a complete 1,000% nothing burger. If that doesn't drive people nuts, Roger, I don't know what would. Go ahead.
Sociological destruction.
Total.
What we need more than anything else going forward, is understanding. Because you can't fight something you don't totally understand. Part of the mission of your show, part of the mission of the Liberty Beacon Project and so many other good alternative media sources And we've got to find a better word than alternative, because at this point, we're not so much an alternative as this is where you need to go to check first. Then you go to the mainstream media to see how it compares to their lies. And you laugh. No, I'm not joking. That seems to be more and more people. I understand when people get a hold of other people within the Liberty Beacon Project and they talk, so on and so forth. And we understand that we got some good traffic and people are looking. What we don't understand, though, is why, if so many people are awake in America today, why we have so much confidence in a government that is continuing to do this with absolutely no let up. Not only are they continuing to do it, but they're doubling and tripling down. If you listen to Joe Biden the other night talking about what we should be doing for COVID and how we should all lock down until the middle of the summer and how we've got to do this and we've got to do that. And at the same time, what people also need to understand is states don't have to listen. The states in the United States do not have to listen. They can literally decide to go their own way. Now, how does that affect federal monies they're getting, so on and so forth? But the fact still remains, and what most people don't understand on this planet is that the United States is a little bit different. Well, no, we're a hell of a lot different. But then even places like Germany or France or Italy, where you have different states within the boundaries of a nation, those are states controlled by the federal government. In the United States, we have 50 republics. This is the way it's supposed to be. We all get together in a union to share specific things. One of the things that was never included in the Constitution as a power for the federal government is health care. There is absolutely no way that it is addressed in the Constitution. This is supposed to be left up to the states. Now, if the federal government can step in and do something that works, well, this is a good thing. But if the federal government says you all have to stay in your house and you can't leave, no. Because you see, the governor of a state in the United States is the same thing as the president of a nation. Because that state is, in fact, a nation. We are a union. We're not a country. But most people call us a country. We are a union of sovereign nations. There are 50 countries in America. But we don't call it that. But that's the way this was set up. So what the hell do we do when we've got a dictator sitting in the White House telling us the way it's going to be? Not asking us, telling us. And we know for a fact that his science is going to kill more people than it will help. This is an absolute fact. There is a way to do this. There is a way to do this without states actually getting into trouble. And it's called nullification. Nullification is, yes, this is something that is even supported by text within the Constitution. Basically, what it's saying is any law passed by federal government that supersedes their authority or the authority granted them via the Constitution can literally be nullified by the states, and they don't have to go along with it. And you know what? That's a drum I'm going to start beating really, really loudly, because that's one of the very few remedies we have that's absolute.
Yeah, you sure got a big problem in the White House right now. And, I try and listen to the man talk, but I get violently ill when I do, because and another question I got for you, what's with his eyes?
Yeah.
What is
this
with
guy
his
is
eyes?
Not going to be there much longer.
No, but Roger, his eyes, there's something weird about his eyes. You look at the photos of him a couple years ago, and you look at his eyes now. I'm not a conspiracy nut, but his eyes are black. Like, there's no color in his eyes. What is that all about? Because it's right
and
there.
His eyes are not totally black.
Well, the ones if pictures I've been seeing, maybe this is being photo-checked then. Maybe this is being this is being photoshopped. I don't know, but
you can't.
They look like they're legit. Go ahead.
You literally cannot be in public even for a second if you have no white in your eyes at all. Everybody will see it and know it, and you will be the spookiest looking person on the planet. No, I'm going to tell you right now, Joe's eyes are not all black. But there is something different about his eyes. You brought up a good point, okay? If you look a couple of years back, his eyes are open. If you look now, they're always squinted. There's two reasons for that. One, he's trying to read a teleprompter, and he has, I don't know, probably too much pizzazz in his ego to put glasses on. That's the first thing, okay? Now, the other thing is this. In order to get Joe set up so that Joe Bob can go up and read that teleprompter, they've got to calm him down enough so that he's focused. It's the drugs they're giving him. And I would tell you from what I believe he is being given on a daily basis to keep him from going off half-cocked, to keep him from saying things he shouldn't say, to keep him from initiating things he wasn't told to initiate, these drugs that he's taking right now, if you and I took those drugs and a week or a month later we went to get a job and we had to have a drug test, we'd fail.
Well, okay. These videos that I've been looking at are where he's actually on national TV talking, and I've just done side-by-side comparisons with that, with actual, you know, where he's on MSNBC or he's on a mainstream media outlet talking, and I've looked at comparisons, and something's not right with his eyes, his nose, his mouth is closer to his nose than it was before. These are things you can see right in his face. So I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they got a mask on him. I don't know, but it's just kind of weird.
There are people out there who are saying that he is a body double. It's not Joe. But of course, they would say this about just about anybody who's acting so stupid and so evil. But I have seen. And, of course, they're going to send you some really, I don't know, convincing proof. And I was sent a couple of pictures a while back. I don't even know if I could find them. But on one of them, they're both profile pictures. On one of them, Joe Biden has nothing under his chin. He's got no sag, no nothing. His chin goes straight back to his neck. It's like he's, I don't know, 40 years old, not 80.
Right.
And in the other image of him, which – they both look a lot alike. He's got a massive sag under his chin, all the way down to his neck. It's a slanted line, not a straight line going back. And that alone is enough to say this is not the same person. I'm not going to start a conspiracy theory here. I'm not going to go out and tell everybody.
Neither am I, Roger. I just
this guy is not Joe.
Just to talk about it for a second.
Right.
But I don't buy into this stuff. I just brought it up.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that's what shows like this are for, to talk about weird things that people are talking about.
Right.
But if you start to consider, okay, this guy isn't going to be in the Oval Office much longer. They've already got Kamala talking to foreign leaders. They've already got Kamala doing this. They've already got Kamala doing that, okay? As far as everybody was concerned prior to the election, Nancy was dusting off the 25th Amendment to help get rid of Trump. Nothing ever could have been further from the truth. The 25th Amendment was dusted off because the plans to get rid of Bubba Joe not too long after the election were made long before the election. And Bubba Joe had to know that because, look, he was basement Joe for the entire election. What president in this country ever in our history hid in a basement for 80 to 90% of an election cycle, and when he did go out, he couldn't account for more than 100 people. Meanwhile,
but he got 85 million votes, Roger.
Yeah, right. And meanwhile, you've got Trump, who's doing three or four, flying around the country doing three or four of these rallies a week, where the minimum crowd is 25 to 30,000. And he fills stadiums up to the point where you've got 1,000 people standing outside in the line that couldn't get in. But yet, Joe Bob won. And when you say he got 85 million votes, it wasn't quite that many, but let's stop and think about this, okay? 20 to 30 million more people voted for Joe Biden than were registered voters in this country. We had like 160 million votes, and I think there's 130-something million registered voters in this country. Now, does that make sense?
Yeah, but you know what, Roger, I right from the beginning, right from the day they announced Joe had won the election, everybody knew that this had been stolen. There's just absolutely no way that he won this legally. My question still in my ears right now, why was Trump still holding the president power? Did he not really go hard after this guy with the mounts of evidence that were already available? It seemed like every law and order society in the United States of America turned against Donald Trump. Is the deep state that deep? My question. Go ahead.
Exactly where I was going with this.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I read your brain.
You not only read my brain, but you set up the next little bit of spiel here quite well. Yeah. Joe Bob. No, nobody ever expected Joe Bob to be president, even though they expected him to win. Nobody ever expected him to be president. And he isn't the president. Anybody who thinks he is an idiot. Trump, why did Trump give in? Okay, I'm going to tell you why Trump had to basically fold. If you stop to consider, he has how many daughters, how many wives, how many sons, how many business partners, how much? Let me ask you a question. Do you think, Barry, do you think that there is anything that can be bought for money that can't be accomplished by the elite who literally control all of the money on the planet? Mm. Now,
it's a lot of power. Go ahead.
If you stop to consider that, when does the pressure on Trump get to be big enough that he has to at least back off a little? If Trump was not under the pressure he is under, and anybody who thinks he isn't, you're an idiot. If Trump was not under any of that pressure, this would be a totally different scenario. And let's talk about a totally different scenario. Let's talk about that, because one of the videos in there absolutely describes, like I said, all of the pre-planning for the Capitol breach well prior to the Capitol breach. Now, when you have actual video of these people talking about an event that's coming up and how they can train for the maximum disruption, and they're using military tactics, the whole nine yards. This is so obvious. Obviously a coup, it's insane. And these people are using basically social media to the point where people can copy it or record it and send it out, which is how Milley got a hold of it. What you're looking at right here, right now, is the deep state beyond what you and I would consider the deep state. Everybody out there thinks that the deep state is a bunch of people who are buried in the government, and they pretty much run everything. That's way too cursory an explanation. It's way too shallow an explanation. Let's start with what is the deep state, because that is what caused the havoc in this country. That is what stole the election. This is what we call the deep state. The deep state doesn't start with the deep state. The deep state starts with Congress. It starts with the House of Representatives and the Senate, and now the President and the Vice President. The deep state is politicians who have been in office for 20, 30, and even 40 years. It was never the intent of the founders in this country for politicians to make it a career. They were supposed to go and represent the people and then go back home, take care of your farm, whatever. But this isn't what happened. What we ended up with is career politicians who every time they get reelected, whether it's every 2 years for a congressman or every 6 years for a senator or every 4 years for a president, every time they get reelected, they are just a little bit more in debt. To who? To the elites to help them get reelected. And what do? They owe. When they get reelected, it's always, let me give you a supposed, okay? And this is just a basic outline. It's not the actual words, but hey, look, we're going to give you $3 million for your campaign. That should put you over the top. And look, this is all we want. There's going to be a bill coming up in, and if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. I would tell you right now that the deep state starts with our congressional politicians, both the senators and the House of Representatives. And the next level would be your state governments, but then you're talking about deep state within the state. We're talking about the federal deep state. So that's the first level. What's the next level? The next level and the most important level, because these are the order givers. They don't make them, but they give them. And that is the NIS, the CIA, the FBI. You have career people in these institutions that have been there long enough to truly believe that they should have the power they need to do what they feel should be done. Anybody think I'm kidding? Look at what the FBI's been doing. Yeah, they've been covering our back, right? And Ray just went into Congress a couple of days ago, the head of the FBI, and told them, hey, there ain't nothing to see here. There ain't nothing to see here. And he was, talking about Trump, so on and so forth. This guy literally steps up and lies in front of Congress. What people need to understand is Congress and the intel agencies are the two biggest components of the deep state. And then from there, you go to the corporate owners who literally have more money than God. And there's a lot of them, like Gates. Okay? And I could go on and on. Zuckerberg. Anybody out there have even the smallest clue about the financial transactions and the wealth contained within the Facebook corporation? If you've got close to 2 billion, yes, 2 billion people registered on your platforms across the planet, your capital, expenditures and whatever are on a national level, not on a corporate level. So when you stop to consider why isn't social media getting hit really hard for all the crap they've done, for all the conservatives they've shut up, for all this is none of this. None of this would have survived a Trump reelection, because he absolutely was about to take social media in front of the judges, and he absolutely should have. Because nobody influences our elections more than the big social medias, which are, of course, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Yahoo. These are the people who influence our elections. So when you talk about deep state, you need to talk about the corporatists who literally buy these politicians. Then you've got to talk about the politicians, okay? Deep state is a whole lot different than most people tend to believe it is. It is an actual entity. And what are they doing? They're protecting their property. They're protecting their space. Okay? And they know better than you. Why? Because they've been doing that job for 30 years. It has nothing to do with the fact that this is a democratic republic. It has nothing to do with the fact that a majority of what they're doing wouldn't pass the smell test in a constitutional convention. It doesn't matter. Why? Because they're the deep state. And if somebody complains about them to somebody else, that person is probably on your call list every time you decide to do something to screw we the people over. This has been going on for over three generations in earnest and for well over 100 years at some level. So for anybody to be surprised when anybody brings up the deep state or the shadow government, don't be. What you should be is angry that we let this crap happen, because we let it happen. Why? Because we didn't take the time to look at what was going on in our government. Americans are the most apathetic and disassociated from their government of any society on this planet. And the reason is because we have been led to believe via schooling and everything else that our government always has our back, will never do anything to harm us. And if you think so, then you're a weird person and people probably shouldn't talk to you.
Well, I'm going to argue with that because I think we've got you beat up here in Canada, but that remains to be seen, Roger.
Okay. Well, you can't have us beat, but you've only got a fifth of the population.
Will America be able to survive even a year of this administration that's in power right now if it's allowed to go forward? And who is going to be vice president to Carmella?
I would tell you there's a lot of people out there who are saying Hillary Clinton, but I'm going to tell you right now that's not going to happen. Not Hillary. I would absolutely fall down laughing hysterically if it's Bernie Sanders, though. Because there's a lot of socialists out there, and yeah, Joe Bob's not exactly a good socialist. So when Kamala gets in, who is someone who has much more socialist leanings, that may be doable. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that to me would just be absolutely hilarious. But Joe Bob, I don't expect him to be around for more than another month or two.
At this point,
he can't even get in front of a camera and say a 5-minute speech without screwing up or humming or stuttering at what's on the teleprompter. And as soon as tell me you ain't seen this. As soon as he gets done and says, okay, I'll take a few questions, they all rush in and rush him out.
Get out of here, Joe. Your time's up.
You ain't going to answer no questions. No, he's not going to answer any questions. No, we're going. Bye.
He's too busy fighting COVID.
And every other president by this point in time has already had their first press conference where they answer questions from the press about what the president feels his main responsibilities and focus need to be going forward. That hasn't been had. Why? He's got up there and told us a few things, but they won't let him answer any questions. And the reason for that is the answers won't be on a teleprompter. So he can't possibly get them right. And if he does manage to get a few right, what you're going to find out is through all the stuttering and the hemming and hawing and looking over his shoulder to see if somebody's going to come and help him, and then realizing he shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm stuck for an answer personified, man. I find it very painful to watch the guy. I really do. And when he's walking around, Roger, he just looks like he's not even in the room. He looks like he's completely out in space. He really is not associated or connecting with anybody in any of the audiences that I've seen him. It's a joke, and it's very painful to watch. But it's not funny in the same muscle, because we know Carmella is just licking her lips right now, waiting for the word to go. And would Nancy be eligible as vice president?
No, she's the Speaker of the House. But I would tell you a mechanism for getting Trump back into office in less than 3 years. And most people wouldn't know this. Actually, they may, but they just wouldn't put it together like this. What you people out there need to understand is that, and most of you, a lot of you may already know this, the Speaker of the House is third in line. If the president and the vice president go away, the Speaker of the House steps into the presidency. Yes. Okay. Now, with that in mind, understand that Trump has told the world – okay, he's told the world, I am not starting a new party. I am going to help Republicans win in 2022. And of course, he's going to run in 2024, but he's not saying that yet. He's just hinting at it a lot. In 2022, he has already okay, calling up and supporting specific GOP senators and congressmen for 2022. If you don't think that he can't do massive fundraising, if you don't think that he can't be a massive help to these people, and they all know it, and they're all going to jump on that bandwagon big time. So let's play this scenario out, okay? Let's play it out.
It didn't last that long, Roger. I really did because, whoa, what's going on at your borders? Go ahead.
Okay, but if you derail me, I'll totally forget what I was about to talk about.
Okay, okay, I'll shut up.
All right, so if you stop to consider that Trump can run for Congress, of course he can, absolutely. And if you don't think that Trump, especially in the area he lives in, wouldn't beat the incumbent and take his seat, absolutely would. So let's say Trump gets elected to Congress in 2022, okay? At that point, because of what he's been working on for the last year and a half, the Democrats have taken the House back over. Once you take the House back over, you now appoint the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House would be appointed as Donald Trump. As soon as Donald Trump becomes the Speaker of the House, they institute impeachment against, guess who? Bubba Joe and Kamala, with pre-existing evidence by the tons. At which case, both Kamala and Bubba Joe get yanked out of office. They're impeached. And guess who becomes president if the vice president and the president goes away?
Watch your time, Barry.
Yeah. Actually, Roger, you know what? We're out of time, buddy, again. Can you imagine that?
But anyway, it's Joe Biden.
Okay, real quick,
Roger. Joe would go away, Kamala would go away, and Trump would be president in less than 2 years from now.
Well, let's hope. Anyway, buddy, I've got to let you go. Real quick, where can people find you? And always a pleasure having you in.
People can find us at thelibertybeacon.com. That's the main website. Right at the top of that, there's a banner. Click on it. It will take you to a page where you can access our other websites across the planet, like France and England and Australia. But it is a network. And we always benefit from people like Barry giving us a platform to tell the truth.
We'll have you back again real soon, Roger. Thanks again, my friend.
Okay. Thank you. And both you and Steve have a great day.
Okay. Bye for now, Roger. Bye. Hey, guys. I'll be back in a few minutes with Rick Boswick. Roger and I had Tim Mullen scheduled, but he double booked himself, so he apologized. And Rick's been good enough to fill in. So I'll be back in a couple minutes with Rick Boswick.